Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Good afternoon to you. 720 WGN. This is Rob Hart and Randy Bellisomo. We are in for Bill and Wendy. We're picking up part two of the Bill and Wendy marathon here until 3 o'clock this afternoon on 720 WGN. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Hope you're having a happy Thanksgiving. Hope everything is going smooth as silk. 312-981-7200 is how you call us. 312-981-7200 is how you text us here at the Big Time Radio Station. Randy? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Rob. Happy Thanksgiving, Chicago. It's good to be with you, everyone out there, and it's good to be inside. I hope you're inside cooking, spending time with those that you care about, because it is nasty out, so it's a good day to stay in and turn on the radio and hang with us.
Finish your bird and hang with us. Can you set two more spaces at the Thanksgiving table for Randy and myself this afternoon? Hey there, Ryan Burrow.
Hola. How are you guys doing?
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. The three of us, as I said before during the crosstalk, I think we're don't feel sorry for us, because we're accidentally brilliant. And that is the three of us all worked on Thanksgiving. And that way we got out of having to prepare the Thanksgiving meal. We don't have to worry about cleaning up. Don't have to take any tables out of the basement. Don't have to move any chairs.
Yes, but.
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 If anyone forgot anything, we're the go-to. Hey, by the way, could you grab some wine on the way back? Oh, we forgot the corn. Could you grab a couple cans of corn? So that still is a possibility, guys. We're not in the clear yet.
Well, I did, Aaron, guys.
You got it.
I did some pre-Thanksgiving prep yesterday. We set everything up because we're going over the river and through the woods to my in-law's house by O'Hare after the show. And we went over there last night to make sure that the table and everything else was taken out. And so all they have to do is just the actual cooking process itself. And in the middle of all of this, they realized that they forgot to order the pumpkin pie. And so I mean, this is mission critical stuff here. I mean, this is like going into space and forgetting your rocket fuel. I mean, you need pumpkin pie here. And I said, you know what? You know who has fantastic pumpkin pie? The good people at Costco. Mm-hmm. Went over to the Costco in Niles last night around 5 o'clock. I thought that was going to be a scene reminiscent of people trying to get on the last helicopter out of Saigon. And actually, I got to give people at Costco credit. They ran that thing like a Swiss watch.
Really?
It was crowded. There were a lot of people going this way and that, but all lanes were open at the cash registers. They got you in and out in a hurry. So
I have to tell you,
Costco.
Baker Square the day before and day of Thanksgiving. Forget it. I mean, the line is wrapped around. I mean, you order these things online, and the cars are still snaked around the building.
On the way in, coming down Grand Avenue to get here, I looked at the Benny's Grand and Franklin, and there was not a parking space in the parking lot at the liquor store at 9:45. So people are still shopping. People are getting those. And Rob, you and I might have some things to pick up on the way home.
I did not know that. Like, I mean, obviously, Thanksgiving is a big food holiday, but it's good to know that the good people at Benny's are also getting the cash register rung as Thanksgiving gets underway. I'm working in radio, and you working in broadcasting. It's one of those. It's a 24/7 business.
Sure.
So there are. Chances are you're going to be working a holiday, whether it's Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Thanksgiving, the day after. And so of my 15-year radio career, there have only been two Thanksgivings in which I did not have to work, 2012 and 2013.
And what did you do?
I decided, I'm like, all right, I have the whole day to myself. I'm cooking turkey. Mm-hmm. 1 year I smoked it, the other year I fried it. And I discovered that as part of this type of, I don't know if you want to call it Thanksgiving cooking, unwritten rules, etiquette, but if you're actually cooking the turkey, people kind of leave you alone.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of years ago, I'm just sitting outside minding the smoker and just steadily enjoying beer the entire time. Well, this is a 7-hour process of smoking the turkey, and by the time the turkey was done, I was kind of done, too. I should probably not talk. That's probably the best thing to do right now.
They'll catch on.
They'll catch on. And Good thing that was 3 years ago, because I think the statute of limitations has expired. That's not happening today because I'm on the job, Randy's on the job, Ryan's on the job, the other Nick D is on the job doing traffic this afternoon. So we'll be talking to you until 3 o'clock here on 720 WGN. And when we come back, we will dip into our trunk of Thanksgiving treats and relive a Thanksgiving memory. 12:15, this is Rob Hart and Randy Bellisomo on 720 WGN. You can also listen right here on 720 WGN, pregame at 3:30, and we, Randy, you and I, will be the pregame leading up to Blackhawks and Ducks tomorrow afternoon. Some Black Friday Blackhawks, especially in the late afternoon. Who doesn't like that? What, like, TV traditions did you have in your house growing up, at the Bellisomos in Memphis, Tennessee, growing up?
The TV traditions for us, well, very akin to what you and I are doing today, Rob, is getting out of the Thanksgiving prep. My dad and I used to start the day, Thanksgiving Day, by getting out of the food prep and jetting out and going to the Waffle House and hanging out there and having breakfast so we wouldn't have to help at home.
And that was okay? Was this just to ensure domestic tranquility because Dad just messed everything up?
Well, no, it was, I think my mother actually appreciated having people get out of her way, and my dad and I really liked the Waffle House. Don't have that luxury here in Chicago, but then we'd come back, and of course...
Yeah, Waffle House hasn't made it this far north yet.
No.
They're like killer bees. They kind of stalled somewhere in the Mid-South.
I still have hope, because Chick-fil-A made it to Manhattan. Waffle House could make it to Chicago. So we, then we could back, watch a little of the parade. I really enjoyed watching the dog show. I grew up without dogs or pets because Dad would never let us have a dog, but I really enjoyed watching the dog show on Thanksgiving Day. And then maybe after it's over, you know, the football's on, and I was thinking about movie traditions. A lot of people have movies, whether go out to the movie, and then one of our Thanksgiving or holiday traditions, I'm not exactly sure, depending on where it fell, but my mother and I would always watch at some point this season The Bells of St. Mary's with Ingrid Bergman and Bing Crosby. And it was it's just my getting to the holiday movie, and it's one of my favorite movies to this day.
And we're going
to
talk about how Thanksgiving has been conquered by Christmas.
Yes.
If there's a war on Christmas, Christmas is winning because it's completely wiped out Thanksgiving.
And Halloween.
And Halloween, too. But growing up, you would kind of transition into Christmas on Thanksgiving night. And for a couple of years, we would wind down from Thanksgiving dinner from watching what is, in my estimation, the greatest Christmas movie of all time, Die Hard 2, starring Bruce Willis and the late Fred Thompson. You know, the terrorist sees Washington, D.C.'s airport. It's fun family viewing. Very few people choose to join me in this particular belief, but I'm proud of it, and I will stick to it.
I bet you will find some radio listeners who would
also
jump
think
on that
Die Hard 2 is a great Christmas movie.
There are a few of them out there. You're not the first one I've heard that said that.
But that's how we would get into Christmas. And of course, if the Bears were playing on the Lions on Thursday, we would watch that. We'd watch John Madden hand out the turducken after the game. And speaking of which, Bears are playing tonight, playing the Green Bay Packers. Talk to Adam Hoag coming up later here on 720 WGN, giving us the Green Bay Packers eye view of things. And but there's one thing, if you are if you are in radio,
yeah,
and you're now in radio, Randy, because
you are
on the radio, and therefore you are in radio
for 3 hours. Yes,
you will discover that all of your radio friends will share this on their Facebook page, because all of your radio friends will come up with this idea at the same time, mm-hmm. And that is one of our sacred texts in this business is WKRP in Cincinnati,
sure.
And one of the clips that is just iconic from this show and iconic for people in this business is from an episode in 1978 called Turkeys Away, and it is about a promotion for the radio station at a mall in Cincinnati, and the newsman Les Nessman is on the scene to describe their Thanksgiving promotion, which is turkeys being dropped from a helicopter.
No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object, perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet into the air. No parachutes yet. Those can't be skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but... Oh, my God, they're talking! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes! Oh, I just went through the windshield of a parked car!
running around pushing each other? Oh, my goodness. Oh, the humanity. They're running the dogs up. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter.
The turkeys hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement is one of the greatest lines in television history. And, of course, it ends with the big guy, Arthur Carlson, walking back into the office disheveled after this promotion goes so horribly wrong and just says, as God is my witness.
I thought turkeys could fly.
That's
some foul humor.
Ah, there we go. See, you're doing some radio zingers. Are you
good?
Sure you haven't done this before?
Oh, man, just a couple times. That was great. And apparently, that show was not a rating success until this episode, which really launched it into, you know, popularity.
It was one of those shows that CBS kept jerking it around the schedule, mm-hmm. and the viewers never found it because it was always on the move. And the irony about WKRP in Cincinnati is that after it was canceled in 1982, they finally it stayed in the same time slot for longer than a month. And people actually found it, and CBS said, no, we have to uncancel the show. It's actually popular. But by that point, the cast had moved on to other projects and were unable to return to WKRP. But this is based on a real thing.
If you're looking for some humor today, this is one of the greatest sitcom episodes, classic television. I think it's right up there with The Funeral of Chuckles the Clown. My background in television would tell
yes.
you know, my Mary Tyler Moore is your WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yes, for you, Mary Tyler Moore is your role model, and
right.
for me, it's Dr. Johnny Fever.
Right.
This is based on a real thing, though, because the creator of WKRP in Cincinnati is a guy by the name of Hugh Wilson. And in the 60s, he was a promotions man or a salesman at the big top 40 AM station in Atlanta, WQXI, the big 790, Quixie and Dixie, and they had a promotion similar to this where they dropped turkeys out of a helicopter, and 13 or 14 years later, he was able to turn that into a sitcom immortality.
And then he was explaining it, and he said, I'm from Queens, New York. How the blankety-blank would I know that turkeys can't fly? It was a very earnest promotion that he really thought. I mean, I get that if you don't grow up around turkeys, but anyway, it makes for great television. We can be grateful for YouTube
yes.
on this holiday that's making these moments immortal.
Making all of these clips available. And we'll have some more Thanksgiving treats throughout the afternoon here on 720 WGN. Coming up after 12:35, we're going to talk to Mark S. Rosenbaum. He's a professor of retail marketing at the NIU School of Business on the transition of Thanksgiving, because we did mention that Thanksgiving was conquered by Christmas in the war on Christmas, just overrun. Because already the Christmas decorations are up all over town. Thanksgiving is not being given time to breathe. It used to be the feast was central to Thanksgiving, and now the dinner is simply pregame for shopping. So we'll talk about where that transition took place and whether or not we could actually push back and allow shopping to begin on the Friday after Thanksgiving as opposed to Thanksgiving night. So we'll talk about that and so much more coming up on 720 WGN. Thanksgiving, 720 WGN, Rob Hart and Randy Bellisomo in for Bill and Wendy until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Hope your meal preparations are going well. Hope you've had no turkey explosions. Hope you haven't become the star of the next viral video of a deep-fried turkey being launched into space because you did not properly dry it out before you dropped it into the vat of boiling oil. Randy Bellisomo, happy Thanksgiving to you, and thanks for being here today.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Rob. I know you're a deep fryer.
I deep-fried once, and it's a process, it's a procedure, and it might be a couple of years before I do it again.
It's a big process.
Because you don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be the person who causes the pillar of flame to shoot out of your garage from improper, because you do have to, you have to make sure it's thoroughly thawed, your turkey, and you have to make sure it's completely dried out. So I think it took more time to prepare the turkey to be fried than the actual frying process itself. We're going to talk about later on your attempts at cooking Thanksgiving and my attempts at cooking Thanksgiving and your attempts at cooking Thanksgiving at 312-981-7200. If you had any meal disasters the first time you decided to go it alone. But right now I want to welcome in Mark S. Rosenbaum, who is a professor of retail marketing at the NIU School of Business, on, I don't know if you want to call it Christmas creep, but the transition of Thanksgiving from a feast day to a shopping day. Professor Rosenbaum, thanks for joining us here on 720 WGN. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
So what happened to Thanksgiving? Why is it it stopped being a food day and turned into a shopping day? Has this always been the case, or is it a fairly recent development?
No, this is fairly recent. Holidays are about rituals. They're about families coming together, and they're about stories and narratives and people taking on the same roles year after year. And really, that role's always been pretty constant. It was about females cooking. It was about males carving the turkey. It was about getting together for storytelling or to watch sports. But somewhere, shopping became part of that family tradition. So retailers are finding that it's not necessarily profitable to even be open at night. But the shopping stories are becoming part of the holiday ritual. So as I do research and I talk to people about why you shop, they say it's what we do now. It's what we do after dinner. It's about the memories that I'm creating at the mall.
Can you say that one more time? You said it's not profitable for these stores to open on Thanksgiving Day.
No, some retailers are discovering that they're simply shifting the money. It's not as if they're seeing expanded sales. They're simply, consumers are just shifting their spending. So it's not necessarily profitable. And in fact, some retailers have actually decided not to open up. For example, REI isn't opening up today or tomorrow.
Right.
It's not profitable, but from a consumer perspective, shopping's becoming part of the Thanksgiving ritual. It's becoming part of the story.
Well,
it's becoming part of the memory.
I seem to remember, because I always seem to have drawn the Thanksgiving shift at my various stops on the radio dial, and I would rail against the idea of stores opening at midnight or stores opening at 3 o'clock in the morning on Black Friday, and just think this was the sign of the apocalypse, this is the sign of our misplaced values, and then I get a great deal of pushback on this. People would call and say, no, this is not some celebration of consumerism, that the fact that we camp out at the Best Buy at 2:30 in the morning, that's part of our family ritual. This
exactly.
is much that,
that's what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
It's as much of a tradition in our family as like watching The Wizard of Oz was when they were kids.
You know, I want to say from really the 50s, 60s, 70s, the tradition of Thanksgiving was basically very fairly constant. Families all tended to do the same thing. They didn't really have many options. And then with women going back to work and families taking on new roles and new dynamics, these traditions began to break. And shopping, the 2:30 hangout, the rush became part of memories, family memories. So the people who I speak to, they actually look forward to these events because it's a thing that they now do. It's part of the ritual. It's now the Thanksgiving ritual for several people. I mean, I don't really necessarily understand it, but it's not part of my ritual. It's not. I don't create memories at the mall on Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving.
It's more the story than the sale. It seems to be what you're saying. I found it interesting. CNBC was saying earlier today, it shocked me, this statistic, that 90% in 2014 of all retail sales still take place in brick-and-mortar stores. What is the role of online shopping on a day like today?
For the true shopper who doesn't want the memory, for the shopper who simply wants the product at the lowest price available, I would say that online shopping serves that purpose.
And there are deals to be had.
Oh, definitely. But if you don't want the hoopla of the mall, if the chaos of the mall is not something you want, if you're not building family memories, if it's not a group consumption activity, you actually are better off sitting at home in the comfort of your home and taking advantage of the price.
And for the traditional purists who want to be home with their family and sharing the experience and not out in the chaos. Is a move like REI, what role does loyalty play when we look at these stores that choose not to open on Thanksgiving or not to open on, even on Black Friday? Will that pay off with customers down the line that say, hey, I really respected what that company did?
I'm actually going to say no. I think that people are indifferent because the true shoppers who want to take advantage of deals have an outlet. They could just shop online. Mm-hmm. The ones who don't see the memory creation, they're going to stay at home. I don't think that REI is going to actually win loyalty points because it refuses to participate in not opening. I think that there's certain segments who want the hoopla. There's certain segments who don't want it, but I don't think that retailers are going to win by not opening. I actually think that they win in terms of employee satisfaction. So I would recommend for retailers to remain closed from an employee satisfaction perspective, more so than the customer satisfaction perspective.
Well, it seems like you have to chase or be responsive to just changes in society as a whole. And right. As you mentioned, that a lot of the shopping became a part of the Thanksgiving experience just exactly. Because family roles changed and societal dynamics changed. So in other words, it sounds like this is something that's not going away anytime soon. So unless there's some sort of sea change in the family, shopping on Thanksgiving is here to stay.
I agree with you 100%. It's becoming part of the ritual. And as shopping's almost becoming as part of the ritual as eating turkey for some families. And for those consumers, it's the hoopla, it's the excitement, it's the memories, it's the bonding moments that are taking place in the parking lot of a mall that used to take place really around the table.
Well, you know what? If bonding is bonding, family togetherness is family togetherness, and rituals are rituals, whether it's at home or outside of a Kohl's at 1:30 in the morning the day after Thanksgiving. I mean, I guess family togetherness is family togetherness no matter where it happens.
100% agreement. That's exactly how I feel, and I think that's how most people feel. Some people may not understand it. However, I don't condemn or condone it. It's just family bonding.
Mark Rose,
family bonding at the mall.
and that's fabulous. Mark Rosenbaum, a professor at NIU, talking about how Thanksgiving turned into a shopping holiday. Thanks for joining us on 720 WGN, and I will see you at the mall tomorrow morning.
Take care.
Happy Thanksgiving.
After midnight.
You too. Bye.
Thanks a lot. 312-981-7200. Is shopping part of your Thanksgiving tradition? Let's talk about it. 312-981-7200. Or you can text us as well. Are you one of those people who will be beating a path to the mall at 9 o'clock tonight? Because quite simply, Thanksgiving is over. All the leftovers are put away. The guests are gone. Everything is cleaned up. The dishwasher is running. What else better? What else do you got to do than go out to the mall and start spending? Now, Randy, you and I, we work mm-hmm. on Thanksgiving, most Thanksgiving and Black Friday. So we're not the ones going to the mall. We're the ones commenting on those going to the mall.
Right, and I've been outside many a big box store at 2, 3 a.m. And the thing that surprised me when I first started doing this is I thought people were going out and getting the Christmas presents and the holiday gifts for their family. The vast majority of people I used to interview on Black Fridays, they're shopping for themselves. And that, I don't know, I have no data to back that up, but I was surprised by that. I thought that they were doing their Christmas shopping. No, they're there for the new TV or the new computer or the new camera for themselves, and it wasn't a holiday thing.
And they liked the experience,
too. They liked to suffer in the cold, in the tent. It doesn't,
wait, you have people pitch tents in the parking lot?
Oh, sure. People outside of many a store, and I've done it for years, and that's what they like to do. And if that's their way of family togetherness, well, more power to them. It's not my thing, but it's you know, so I could get that from football and food with my family, and they get it from standing outside the store. So, as they said, it's about the story, not the sale.
312-981-7200. That's how you call us and text us and talk about your tales of family bonding in the shopping mall parking lot and the wee small ones in the morning after Thanksgiving. Rob Hart and Randy Bellisomo, we're here until 3 o'clock right here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200. You can call us. You can also text us at 312-981-7200 with your tales of bonding and having family togetherness in the Black Friday shopping line, because, as our previous guest said, it is part of the family tradition now, actually going out and shopping after Thanksgiving dinner. This is not a sign that society is crumbling. In fact, this is a sign that society is functioning fairly well, that families are still together and families develop traditions. And sometimes it's about sitting around in front of the TV and watching The Wizard of Oz, as was the case 40 or 50 years ago. And now it's going out and shopping. And who are we to judge? But if you want to tell us your tales, 312-981-7200, you can text us as well. I want to go up to the newsroom and talk to Ryan Burrow, because we have been getting numerous texts to 312-981-7200. People south and southwest of Chicago reporting some sort of explosion that took place not too long ago, about an hour ago. And, Ryan, we've been trying to nail that down. What do you got so far?
Yeah, you know, we've been kind of coming up with blanks here, but we know that people have reported feeling an explosion or a boom in the far south suburbs. We're hearing reports of people feeling something in Markham, Joliet, Frankfurt. Now, the Joliet oil refinery says it has nothing to do with them. They're not aware of any explosion. Markham police say they haven't heard anything. So I wanted to put it out and kind of crowdsource this. A lot of people obviously bopping around the south suburbs, getting from maybe going to grandma's house or maybe felt it while they're cooking. We want you to give us a call, 312-222-4370.
It's 4730, Ryan.
Yeah, 4730. That's the one.
I still have that number programmed in my phone from the first time I was here.
312-222-4730 to let us know if you felt it, if you know what's going on. We're trying to hone this in, and we might as well use the power of the airwaves to see what we can figure out.
Right, because we know what it isn't so far. It's nothing, Ryan, as you said, nothing involving the refinery in Joliet. It's nothing concrete, and I don't want to get into the world of speculation so people's imaginations can run away with it. So if you have any idea of what this might have been, if you saw something, if you felt something, give Ryan a buzz in the newsroom, 312-222-4730, or you can text us as well to 312-981-7200. But we were talking about, Randy, the Thanksgiving traditions of people going out to the shopping mall late at night. And that was something I used to run into, because I would host either early mornings on GN after Thanksgiving, and you would talk about this, and you would get a lot of people coming home from doing all the Black Friday shopping, and they thought it was a fantastic thing. They loved it. They liked the break from the routine. They liked being out in the cold. They liked bonding with not only members of their own family, but other people who were in line. This was just some unique experience that people liked doing. It was very similar to, I don't know, the ones who would camp out before the Rose Bowl parade in Pasadena.
Right. There was a frantic air to it. I've done it a few times at Toys R Us several years ago. You find the ladies and their kids, and not their kids, their older kids, teenagers, ladies, sisters, grandmas, mostly women, at Toys R Us, and they'd be camped out for hours waiting for it to open. And say that there was, I don't know, 30 people in line, but the minute that those doors opened, it was like a mad dash on supermarket sweep. And we would set up cameras on the shopping cart to see where they were going, but they were sprinting. And I asked them, why are you in such a hurry? You're the first person in the store. And I felt like they were on a game show trying to win a prize for the sprint. But there was just it was just full of excitement and energy, and they just fueled themselves. And, you know, if that makes people happy, if they're having a good time, they've got more energy than I do at the end of Thanksgiving dinner. So have fun tonight, guys.
And this was all safe and sane, too, because you do hear the stories about people who there's a stampede at a store and then people get hurt. But this was this was the fun kind of stampede. This was just people being energetic and running.
Right, getting to their items.
Now, I once, this was back when Filene's Basement was still up and running, and every year they had the bridal sale.
Oh, right.
And I went to the store on State Street some morning, and there was a long line of people that did the same thing. They camped out, and then they went racing down the stairs and just started pouring through all the wedding dresses and pulling them out of the pile, trying to find something that fit them. And you'd say, what are you doing? Right. This seems very dangerous.
That's a difficult way to buy a bridal gown.
But they said this was part of their wedding story. This is the story they would tell their children and their grandchildren. You know, this is how I met your father, and then this is how we got married. And I was one of the people running down to the basement at Filene's to get my cheap dress.
Right.
And the discounts are worth it, and the experience and the story is priceless.
They'll remember it for years. It's not, again, it's not my thing, but I remember it. What was it? A couple years ago where there was video out of somewhere that people got trampled at a Best Buy, that it did get dangerous because people were in such a hurry to get to whatever big electronic item, and people actually got run over.
That happens.
That's where it gets out of control.
Yeah, that does happen at a couple of stores. It's not just one big box store or another. And we have not heard of one, though, in recent memory. I think the last one might have been 6 or 7 years ago. So stores have taken precautions to make sure that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But especially as the Black Friday hype machine has because I remember, this is 25 or 26 years ago, and part of the reason why I am in radio now is I used to be a big media consumer. And the day after Thanksgiving was awesome because that was like one of 3 4-day weekends on the entire school calendar. Mm-hmm. So you'd get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you'd already set up the train that would go around the Christmas tree, and I'd watch the Today Show, and the Today Show would begin. Now, this is Bryant Gumbel and Jane Pauley saying that the Christmas season begins today, the Friday after Thanksgiving, 1987, or something like that.
Very official.
And it was very official. You did not talk about Christmas shopping until the day after Thanksgiving. And then they'd go to the stores, they'd go to the malls, and the malls would be crowded, but they would all open at the usual time. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't until maybe, at least in my experience, until the early 21st century, 2001, 2002, when you started hearing about Black Friday, and it got the name because legend has it that was the day that the stores would go into the black for the year. And then it just kind of took off after that, and because it has a name, and because it has hype, and because the stores would continue to feed this need for people to shop, it has now crept into Thanksgiving night.
Apparently, according to CNBC, more than half of all consumers plan to shop today. Now, that shocks me. Half of people plan to shop on Thanksgiving Day. That's hard to believe. I know that there's a strong contingent. And only 12% of those people, according to the International Council of Shopping Centers, only 12% of people say that they are buying holiday gifts today. But more than half of people are shopping, 12% of people are buying holiday gifts. Like I said, they're shopping for themselves or trying to get the big item.
I have noticed that there's one person in the household who always, they're the ones who have holiday shopping planned out. They're already thinking about Christmas gifts. Sure. In July. They're thinking about it in August. My wife is like that. She's always thinking about Christmas gifts for other people, when to get them, and if there's a great bargain in October or September, then she's going to get that, and one item is already crossed off the Christmas list. I, on the other hand, have gone Christmas Eve shopping more than one year.
That's a man thing.
I mean, that was before I got married. This is back when I was still single and sassy, but that was a thing that I did. I was not a Black Friday person. I was a mad rush to the mall on Christmas Eve person. So don't emulate me in that regard either. So this is a world that is entirely foreign to me, but to a lot of people, it's their family tradition and they love it. Coming up after 1 o'clock, we will go behind the cheddar curtain and talk to Adam Hoag. He is at the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin, as not only are the Bears taking on the Packers, but the Packers are saying goodbye officially to number 4. They are retiring Brett Favre's jersey. He will become a Packers immortal, and we'll see how the Bears will do with a crowd that will certainly be revved up in Green Bay tonight. This is Rob Hart and Randy Belisomo. We're here until 3 on 720 WGN. I'm Rob Hart on Chicago's very own 720 WGN with Randy Belisomo and Ryan Burrow. The R's are wild here on WGN, at least until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Then we hand it over to Brian Noonan. He'll be playing the role of Rokan this afternoon on 720 WGN. And if you still have any more information or details on this explosion that may or may not have taken place in the south and southwest suburbs, people say they felt something. We did look at the U.S. Geological Survey website. No reports of an earthquake in the Chicago area. I've always felt gypped in one way or another, because there were three earthquakes that took place while I was the morning news reporter here at WGN, and we covered them. I never felt them. Do you ever feel an earthquake around here?
I felt an earthquake. There was an earthquake in, like, December of 2006 or 7. Then I was in a high-rise in Lakeshore in Waveland, and I felt the building just swerve back and forth once. Didn't know what it was. I thought it was a windy day, because that's not what I expect. And I realized it was an earthquake after the fact. I grew up in Memphis on the New Madrid fault line, and we've been expecting the big one for years. And so I always thought that I'd feel one there, not here. But they happen. They're small. But I felt that my building shaking that once, but I didn't realize that that's what it was.
The one that really comes to mind, this was maybe February or March of 2010. There was a snowstorm overnight. So I'm driving into work, and this is maybe 3:30, 3:45 in the morning, and I was anticipating a day of talking to people shoveling, saying, hey, how about that snowstorm? Mm-hmm. And then I come into the radio station, I talk to the staff of the morning show at the time, and they said, did you feel that? Mm-hmm. Feel what? The earthquake that just happened. What are you talking about? Come on. It actually happened like 5 minutes ago, and I didn't feel it. I felt like I had missed out on something. And it was underneath Huntley, I believe.
That's
and
far.
It was talking to a bunch of people who felt that, who actually did experience the earthquake, and they said it felt like a train was rumbling past their house. Mm-hmm. So we're on this story. We'll figure out. We'll solve the mystery, hopefully before 3 o'clock.
Call us.
And figure out what actually went on.
We've gotten more calls from Piatone, Beecher as well, so keep them coming. If we still haven't pinned down what this thing is, one person called in and said that maybe it was just a loud thunderclap, although we're hearing these things from miles and miles away, so I'd be really surprised by that, but who knows?
At the very least, we know who's listening to the radio show
right
now. We know we're doing very well in the Piatone Beecher area. And you can also call in or text in your reports to 312-981-7200, because that is what WGN does best, crowdsourcing. We rely on you to be our eyes and ears.
It's our news department.
You know, that's really how it goes. We are in a building in downtown Chicago. You are everywhere. You're in the Chicago area. You're in Illinois. You're in Wisconsin. You're in Indiana. You're in Michigan. You are anywhere the giant WGN signal goes. So you are, quite literally, our eyes and ears in many cases. So thank you very much. And that is how this relationship has worked for almost 90 years. Do you have, Randy, a Thanksgiving meal strategy? I have not eaten much of anything today. I had two hard-boiled eggs and an English muffin. That's all I've had, because we're eating at 4 o'clock. And I don't want to basically, I want to be able to enjoy as much of Thanksgiving dinner as possible. So do you have, like, a conservation strategy?
Well, like I said, I don't do this very well, because, like I said, when I was a kid, my dad and I used to go out for big Waffle House breakfast, and I was feeling nostalgic for that this morning, and so made myself a waffle, and I had a waffle and a half. So, you know, that'll be it until this afternoon. But that's the other thing. You know, people, I don't know if this happens in your family, family. But it's not just the meal, but you sit around having your Bloody Mary or your wine or watching the football or whatever for a couple hours before you eat, and there's a lot of hors d'oeuvres out on the table, dip and all sorts of appetizers. So I fill up way before the meal, but it doesn't stop me.
I've had a couple of years in which I've overdid it on appetizers, yeah. And then by the time dinner actually rolls around, you just have maybe a quarter of what you put on your plate, and then go, okay, I'm done.
And that's probably good, because you're not overeating. There was something I was reading this morning that the average American consumes 4,500 calories today. And I can believe that. That's you know, only twice our recommended intake. 4,500 calories.
It's Thanksgiving.
That's fine. It's fine.
Because I used to remember the news stories that we would do just to make the needle move on a holiday, and it was always, well, here's the dietitian to tell you how to have a healthy Thanksgiving or diet through Thanksgiving. I'm going to go, hold up there, home slice. It's Thanksgiving.
Right.
That can be your cheat day.
It's fine, but it does translate. That's enough to gain 1.3 pounds, and a 160-pound person would have to run for 6 hours or swim for 7.5 hours to burn off dinner. But it doesn't matter, because it's once a year.
Right. It's not like you're doing this every day. It's just it's one Thursday in November, and then you can move on to being a responsible adult after that.
And today we're a responsible American, so eat up.
The guilt trip that we lay on people for actually enjoying food,
right,
this is why we have problems.
Right. And turkey's not all that bad for you.
No.
88% of people are eating turkey today. Our hosts earlier this morning, Hannah was saying she doesn't like turkey. I think that there are a large contingent of people out there that don't like turkey but feel like they have to do it. I kind of respect what she does. She says that her family's grilling filet this afternoon. You know,
they like steak. I'll come over to their house.
I think that's better than it's better cut of meat.
I mean,
sure.
Turkey is just because we say turkey is the thing we're supposed to eat. But you're
right.
Like, there's no rule book. The turkey police aren't coming over to your house to make sure that you're actually grilling a bird today.
Right.
As long as you're eating a lot of something,
uh-huh,
whether it's a turkey, whether it's filet, maybe you just enjoy Pringles, and you're going to have many cans of Pringles on this Thanksgiving
day.
You can't stop. Solving the mystery of the explosion somewhere south and southwest of Chicago, let's talk to Gail. Gail, you're in Indiana. You felt this thing. What'd you feel?
Just a little bit before noontime, and there was just kind of a loud boom, and I kind of thought, well, maybe it was just a loud thunder, but now that everybody else is reporting something, I'm in Schererville, which is just at Route 41 and 30 in Indiana, just a little bit east of the Illinois line, and I felt something too and heard it.
And did it sound like a car accident? Did it sound like something falling off of a truck? Did it sound metallic? I mean, what was kind of your recollection?
It wasn't metallic. It was just kind of a rumbling sound, which made me kind of think it had been raining. And I thought, this might be a loud clap of thunder. But it was just that kind of a quick rumbling sound.
Well, you know what? It's not an earthquake, Gail, and we're not, like, hearing any stories of emergency response. So maybe it's just a mystery. You can when you go into your Thanksgiving feast today, you can talk about that around the table as opposed to politics.
Well, I just thought I'd call and tell you this. I did feel it over here in Indiana, so it was something we all felt.
Well, I appreciate that.
Thank you, Gail. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks a lot. 720 WGN. If you did feel this, again, call Ryan in the newsroom, 312-222-4730, or you can call us, 312-981-7200. When we come back, one more trip into the trunk of Thanksgiving treats, courtesy of The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson. It's Rob Hart and Randy Belisomo here on 720 WGN. Rob Hart and Randy Belisomo here until 3 o'clock on 720 WGN, trying to solve the mystery of the boom over the south and southwest suburbs. And I believe Ryan Burrow, who's also been on the case, we might actually, I'm prepared to make a ruling.
Okay.
This is without any actual evidence, but a couple of texters to 312-981-7200 have come up with this theory. It's a good one, and until there is until we have official confirmation of something, there are some people who think this might have been a sonic boom.
Yes, that's what a woman just called in, and she said that when she heard it, she looked up in the sky and saw some kind of airplane going by, so perhaps that was it. But she said it literally shook her entire house. So, I mean, that's quite possible.
Now, before we delve into sonic boom talk, Ryan and Randy,
I do
have a memory. I was 8 years old, and there was a jet flew over our house in Beverly at supersonic speeds, and again, the house shook. And it was a couple of guys from the Air Force who were flying from like Denver to Terre Haute, Indiana. And I remember this because it was the first time ever I had heard the name Terre Haute, Indiana. And they were in the Air Force, I think, and they got in trouble for doing that. So maybe Goose and Maverick are up in the skies above the southwest suburbs today, disturbing many people on their Thanksgiving.
They had the day off, so they decided to take the plane out for a spin, you think?
Yeah, just goof around up in the sky at 700 miles an hour.
Sure.
Why not? We want to go back into the trunk of Thanksgiving treats. We do. Last hour, we did the iconic WKRP in Cincinnati, As God Is My Witness, I Thought Turkeys Could Fly. This next one comes from Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. This is Johnny and Doc Severinsen talking about their Thanksgiving plans and some marital discord that resulted from it.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving? We're doing the show, of course, tomorrow.
I was going to ask you if you got your turkey yet.
Sure.
Do you, truthfully, do you help Mrs. Carson prepare the turkey?
Just like you helped Mrs. Severinsen prepare the turkey.
No, there is no Mrs. Severinsen.
Oh, that's right.
There used to be.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
The fact that I never helped her stuff her bird was one of our big problems.
I thought that was your problem. Well, you know, I forgot all about that. We've been together so long that I forget sometimes where we are.
Which wife are we on?
On various Thanksgivings. No, we're good.
In fact, that was one of the things we really thought about.
What?
I wanted an oyster stuffing in the turkey, and she wanted bread stuffing, and she got bread stuffing and a lot of money.
That was fantastic. That was on an anniversary show a couple of years ago, and now it's on Johnny Carson's YouTube page. And speaking of which, Randy, coming up on January 1st of 2016, Antenna TV, your home for reruns of The Tonight Show.
That's great news to so many people because, first of all, everybody, that's what I used to stay up to watch.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And I was too young to watch it and too young for humor like that. But I know that was a big get for Antenna TV.
Well, because just to give you an idea of how big of a deal this is for Antenna TV, they have access to The Vault. Every Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson in existence is in a salt mine somewhere in Kansas for preservation.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's like you put it down there with everything else you want to have survive the nuclear war. So what's going to happen is if that ever happens, if Armageddon ever comes, the only things that will survive are the Constitution and Johnny Carson's Tonight Show because they're underground. But the Antenna TV, which is a WGN product, it has access to all of that. And starting on January 1st, they're going to run The Tonight Show every night. And this is like 3,000 some odd shows from 20 years that exists, because the first 10 years of Johnny's Tonight Show were in New York at 30 Rock, and NBC at the time did not feel that there was any value in preserving those videotapes. They taped over it. But once Johnny realized that there's some value in holding on to the show, they preserved the tapes. They're in Kansas. Antenna TV has access to them. They'll run them starting on January 1st. They really should just find a channel and run that 24/7.
I think that they'll get a big draw, especially if they run it at night and the usual time slot, because I've talked to many people who are not
fans of the current late night shows.
Right. They're not bowled over like they expected to be, especially with the arrival of Stephen Colbert. I just really, I think for many people, it hasn't lived up to expectations. And I think going back to what certainly exceeded our expectations will be very popular. That's great for Antenna TV.
I am beyond envious of Dean Richards, because just a couple of days ago, he got to interview Doc Severinsen as part of the Tonight Show on Antenna TV rollout, and to actually talk to somebody who was on the Tonight Show at that time is an incredible thrill, because I'm a big Johnny Carson nerd. Mm-hmm. Among the many things in which I am a nerd, the Johnny's Tonight Show is one of them. So to actually talk to the surviving member of that trio, Johnny, Ed, and Doc, is really cool, because I know Dean's a big Johnny Carson fan as well, so getting to talk to him was a thrill for him. So I can't wait to see this. But when you actually watch it, you're going to be surprised, watching a complete Tonight Show, how different Johnny's show was compared to late night shows today.
In what way?
How much more unstructured, unscripted, and just laid back Johnny's show was, because there was no competition. Mm. The other networks were running movies. And now everything is planned down to the second to wring maximum entertainment. But there was like, Johnny's monologue was more of a conversation. There were very few jokes, and even the jokes, you were waiting for the joke to bomb, because Johnny was so much better at rescuing a joke than actually telling one.
So you don't think that he planned much of that in advance as far as his monologues?
He had a staff of writers, but he was a firm believer in unscripted moments and the ad lib, and you could tell it was a show that was a lot less structured. So if you're anticipating sitting down and watching the Tonight Show reruns on Antenna TV starting January 1st, and just sitting down and laughing your tail off, be thinking it's nonstop laughs, it's an entirely different animal altogether.
Right. And then he could decide to keep the guest around for another segment.
Oh, yeah. You know, no, it was a 90-minute show.
Right.
And if the author was kind of a stiff, no, let's talk to Robert Blake for one more segment. It is Thanksgiving Day on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Good afternoon, Rob Hart and Randy Belisomo. We are here until 3 o'clock this afternoon. And you know what time it is, Randy?
What time is it, Rob?
It's time for Bribo. Pick a number between 1 and 10.
7.
All right, 7th caller gets this one, 312-981-7200. One black and red with white mini lights artificial desktop holiday tree courtesy of Tree Time, with over 200 beautiful, realistic artificial Christmas trees and thousands of unique ornaments and decorations. Visit Tree Time on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington or treetime.com. 7th caller to 312-981-7200. That tree is yours. What's the family argument situation like in the Belisomo household? Everyone on the same page politically?
That's a loaded question. I think, you know, no. I don't know of many families that are on the same page politically across the board when you look at different generations and in-laws and things like that. But I think that my strategy for dealing with that is to pretend like you are for one day. What is it going to hurt? I don't think that holidays are the time for principles. I think the peace trumps the principles, and just go with it. If Grandpa Joe says the most crazy radical thing in the world, why not just raise a glass and say, you know what? I agree. And I think that it makes for a much more a peaceful holiday than arguing about things. You're not going to change anybody's mind on Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter. Just go with it.
Is this a thing that actually happens? Because there was a great piece in Rolling Stone yesterday about how to deal with your racist uncle think piece is actually pretty hacky writing. That this whole notion of, you come back to your family, and then you have relatives who have opinions different than yours. You get into fights with them, because you see this the entire week leading up to Thanksgiving. 7 arguments you can use against your racist uncle to shut them down as they talk about Trump or the Syrian refugees or ISIS or whomever. And that the author's contention is that this is, one, the writer of this think piece being very lazy, that it's just very kind of paint by numbers. I gotta churn churn out some content before I go home for the four-day weekend. And then it's also a little bit of humble bragging on the part of the writer. Where it's,
how so?
Well, I left my hometown and went off to New York or Washington, some super cool coastal enclave.
And I'm smarter and better than you now.
Right. I'm smarter than the rest of you boobs back at home.
Yeah,
so I'm
going
to come back and really show you what it's like to be a person of the world.
A sophisticated, intelligent, intellectual. I just don't. You know what I think that is really effective if you don't want to just jump on the bandwagon I was watching. I guess it was last night and the night before when we saw the protesters of Laquan McDonald screaming in cops' face when the cops couldn't respond, and they were the gripping photos of protesters just inches from the nose of Chicago Police Department officers who were manning the protest is, I think, the best way to counter an argument or is no reaction at all. It's just silence. There's nothing more infuriating, I think, than when somebody's trying to get a rise out of you is to give nothing back.
Yeah, just let it go. This is not, someone parroting something they heard on TV or read somewhere. This is not a personal insult against you.
Right.
Just let it go. Man, it's Thanksgiving Day.
Right.
By the way, I want to say thank you to Marcy, the winner of the holiday tree. But on top of that, most family arguments are not about politics. There's usually about something incredibly trivial. So your turn now at 312-981-7200. You can text us as well, 312-981-7200. Clearly, your family arguments have to be about something stupid.
Or something stupid, but there's a lot more under the surface of the trivial that's manifesting in the trivial. Like, I never felt like you understand me, Mom, or Dad doesn't know, who I really am. That, and then it manifests in something that's so stupid that sets off a huge firestorm. Do you have arguments on holidays?
No. Not really, just because everyone's there in a good mood,
right.
And seeing as I'm someone who works in news and talk radio, mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about current events
right.
when I'm not getting paid for it.
That's fair.
The hottest take that I will give you is about whatever move the White Sox made.
Mm.
But I could tell you that I think
that's safe.
Right. In my family, it's especially safe because we're all on the same page when it comes to what the Sox are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most family arguments, they're not the result of Ben Carson's claims on who built the pyramids and why. It's usually about who's controlling the remote. It's usually about who brought what. It's about if someone came late and this is a passive-aggressive dig at you.
Yeah.
That's what family arguments
Somebody's
are about.
Somebody's not lifting a finger.
You pair that up with an old couch and some people having to sit on the ground or the floor because there's no room, and then a hot living room. Oh, yeah, that's a mix for a family argument, right?
And just the anxiety that comes from having to be responsible for setting up the entire Thanksgiving meal. I mean, that was always my, and I'm sure that's your problem, too, as a host, where you spend the entire week just nervous about every little detail of planning the Thanksgiving meal. Is there going to be enough food? Are there enough seats at the table? Do we have enough room? Is there going to be enough for people to drink? Are people going to get bored? And you're just kind of like in this state of cat-like anticipation, and you're so tense, anything can set you off.
I agree. I got to tell you, the one thing I always remember is just the warm kitchen. I mean, it's people are cooking and there are a lot of people and you're just sweating it out and it's just you're just uncomfortable. You got to kind of break away, And when there's no place to sit on the couch or if you end up getting kicked down to the kiddie table, even though you're 16, I'm not holding anything. But, it's just it can start to grind on you.
And besides, if you're at the kiddie table, Ryan, you're the smartest guy at that table.
I might still be at the kiddie table.
Why not be the king of
sure,
the kiddie table?
Absolutely.
And you know what? You could talk about how alcohol can escalate a situation, but it's only if alcohol makes you angry. If you're a person who, after a couple of drinks, gets mean or gets mad, don't drink. But if you're somebody who is very gregarious and happy after a couple of drinks, maybe have a couple of glasses of wine and just feel yourself uncoil as the Cabernet Sauvignon goes to work. This is Rob Hart and Randy Bellisoma talking to you about your stupid family arguments. It's really about politics. And welcome back, 720 WGN, Rob Hart and Randy Bellisomo. You need a Kleenex over there, Randy?
Excuse me, Chicago. Been recovering from bronchitis. I'm glad that I'm able to talk to you today.
Glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Need a neti pot? We can clean out the sinuses between now and 3 o'clock?
Sorry.
Just let you know, this is how powerful WGN is, that when you clear your nose in Chicago, they can feel it in Green Bay. Kind of a butterfly effect. This station goes many places. We are talking about your stupid family arguments because they never are the result of politics. It's always something else going on that sets off the powder keg. Telling your stories at 312-981-7200, or you can text us too, 312-981-7200. Let's talk to Karen. Hello, Karen. Happy Thanksgiving. You're on WGN.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. I am thankful for my family who we just have never, in my whole entire life, have had those arguments. We just, I don't know how that works, but we really honestly do not pick up on any one argument. We just enjoy conversation and cheer, and we meet many times a year. You know, the whole entire one side of the family, we meet not just for Easter and Thanksgiving and Christmas, but, you know, during the summer and things like that, just to be together and enjoy one another's company. And nobody brings up, I guess, one specific topic to argue about. We just enjoy one another's company.
You know, I think that's what most families are like, that everyone just goes along, gets along, enjoys each other's company, and no one's really there to stuff it down the other one's throat.
That's lovely. Thank you for sharing that, Karen. Inspiration for everybody.
More people should be like you, Karen.
Thank you.
Have a happy and conflict-free Thanksgiving.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Let's talk to Larry, you're on WGN. Hello, Larry.
Hi.
Hello, Larry. Hello, Larry.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I wanted to say that in our family, it's mostly actually not so trivial things like politics and religion that set people off. But I think Randy is right when she says that the trivial things, when they do, are usually based on things in the family that really aren't so trivial to the people that are. Basic sibling things or parent child things that don't go away, and they might hit them.
You know what, Larry? I got to put you on hold because you need to get into a better cell.
And call us back.
But yeah, the whole problem there is it's politics, it's religion, it's the hot button situations. But as you mentioned, it's there's always some gunpowder there. There's always the kindling. There's always the elements of starting a fire.
Right.
Are there, and it's always something else.
Well, that's the thing, is whether it's a couple, a married couple, or a family situation, parent child situation, or a sibling situation. I think I'm no therapist or expert, but I think that we tend to have the same arguments over and over again, but we have them in different ways. And it's what's going to ignite it or fuel it today on a holiday when it's a high-stakes situation. And that's what it is. We have the same issues that haven't been resolved for years or decades. And when we keep arguing about the same thing, but doing it in different ways and different circumstances. And I think that's what a lot of people struggle with. And it's really hard to put aside because there's a whole lot of history there. It's easier to walk in. Maybe sometimes we are talking about bringing, you know, significant others over for the first time on a holiday. You know, everybody says, oh, that's so scary, whatever. Well, you don't have a whole trunk full of, you know, emotional baggage that you're carrying in with you. It's a fresh slate.
Speaking of which, did you ever have to bring a significant other to Thanksgiving dinner before you got married?
No, see, that's the thing, is I also, you know, Godspeed everybody who's doing it today. I don't think that holidays are the best time to introduce somebody you care about to a family. I just think that there's too high a stakes. You know, as you know, I'm in the, you know, we do a lot of end-of-life planning work throughout Chicago as an example, and people say, well, and there's a lot of people out there, and I think that they make a good point. When all your family's together, you need to have the conversation about what matters most. You know, tell them, you know, your preferences for X, Y, and Z. And this is just an aside. But I say, you know, maybe not at Thanksgiving dinner do you bring up the most important things, because you just really want to preserve the peace and have a nice time for everybody. I think when you have a bunch of people and it's an anticipated holiday, and I don't want to dismiss the fact that Thanksgiving is actually holidays in general are really sometimes hard for people, especially those that are having a difficult year, having a job situation, who have lost a loved one in the past year. There's a lot of emotional fuel that goes into holidays. So I recommend against having the most important conversations during the Thanksgiving meal, or meeting somebody and saying, hey, meet this guy. I love this guy, and he's the guy for me on Thanksgiving Day. Maybe arrange a more casual dinner. You know, sometime on an average Tuesday.
I mean, I've only invited two significant others to Thanksgiving dinner, and one, I'm currently married to her, mm-hmm. and she did not come over to Thanksgiving dinner, and part of it was just because of timing. Mm-hmm. She didn't come and do Thanksgiving dinner at my parents' house until we'd already been engaged. Mm-hmm. So this was after dating.
So she knew everybody.
Yeah, she knew everybody. She was after having dated for a year and a half. And then before that, it was my college girlfriend who'd been going out for 2 years when she came down to my parents' house for Thanksgiving.
Right.
So there was already, everyone knew each other by that point. There was a great deal of familiarity and comfort. So yeah, I've never been in a situation where it's like, oh, not only do you have to really make a good first impression because it's the first time you've ever met my parents, you're meeting my entire family, and it's Thanksgiving, please enjoy this giant stressful situation I've just dropped on top of you.
Right. I don't know if that's fair to anybody involved. And I think it's really hard for the family to get to know a new person when there's a lot of stuff going on in the house. And you haven't seen Aunt Susie in 9 months or since Easter, and you've got to catch up with her, but you want to make Rob's girlfriend or fiance feel really special. I just think that there's a way to do that that might be a little bit easier for all parties and more, you know, better for the building of a relationship that hopefully is going in all the right directions.
Then again, we have not been in a family. I'm not like, it's not like I have a brother and a sister. There are some people who have families where they're one of eight. And there are people calling in to Bill Leff yesterday afternoon talking about how their family is so big that they have to have Thanksgiving in three shifts because there are just so many siblings and so many cousins and so many aunts and uncles, and you can't fit them into one house at one time. And then into that environment, you have to introduce your new boyfriend or girlfriend. Oh, it's like, come on over and meet these 65 people in my family.
That's too much.
That, because our family is kind of a more manageable size, it's not that intimidating.
I would love to hear from people who are navigating that and or who have decided to do it in a different way.
And I'm Rob Hart on Chicago's very own 720 WGN with Randy Bellisomo. We're here until 3 o'clock this afternoon talking to you at 312-981-7200. You can text us as well, 312-981-7200, especially if you are trudging along the expressways, getting to where you need to be. Are you parked on the Edens? Are you crawling on the Kennedy? Are you eking down the Eisenhower? Thanks for joining us this afternoon. We're here until 3 o'clock. And we're talking about introducing your new boyfriend or girlfriend at the family Thanksgiving dinner. Your parents have never met this person before in your life, and now you're going to do the big reveal when everybody else is there as well. And it is a very stressful situation, Randy, isn't it?
Seems like it would be. That's why I've never done it, but we want to hear from those of you who have.
Veterans of family introductions in front of everybody on Thanksgiving. Let's talk to Sue. Sue, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hi. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Actually, to be honest, I think it's, even though I see how it's fraught with, I think it's a great time to see how people handle themselves.
And actually, I met my future son-in-law after they had been dating for 6 months at a gigantic birthday party. My daughter, I had never met him before, so I think probably for both of them was a little tense, but he passed with flying colors. I think it's really a really good way to see how somebody handles themselves.
Well, was it a birthday party with their friends or with your relatives?
It was all family, the entire family, and their friends.
Mm-hmm.
So there was about 50 people there, and it was my daughter's birthday party. It was her 30th birthday party, and I had never met him. I knew she was dating him. And so I kind of think, even though I understand where you're coming from, it's kind of a good way to see how somebody handles themselves.
Right. Well, the thing is about that, and I get your point, is that he had allies there with his friends.
Well,
but I also think that it is a great thing to see how people handle themselves, but I think that you can also figure that out on meeting number 2, 3, 4 and for the rest of your life. But it is. It really is a revelation of character, how you treat grandma.
How you treat the parents.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Sue, have a happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for calling us this afternoon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks a ton. Let's talk to David. David, you're on WGN.
Hi, Rob and Randy. Happy Thanksgiving, you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
You know, I think that a good strategy to deal with family on Thanksgiving is to have low expectations, really. Everybody, you know, we all want to be loved and have the Norman Rockwell experience, but it's so easy to be disappointed. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I think is a good way to go.
Well,
just to kind of plan to be mellow, and don't bring any new people or new ideas. Just try and be okay with it, because it's like, you know, it's like a performance for families. It's like you know, if you're not used to being in the game, this is like a performance that families have to put on, and it's actually quite difficult.
It's exhausting sometimes. I would imagine, you know, if you have to, you have to be on your best behavior. Where it just depends on the family circumstance, but your family, they know you and they love you the most, supposedly, of anybody. But at the same time, it's a very difficult dance. I know that a lot of people play of, don't say this, say that, go easy on her, don't bring up that, and it is, and you really do have to, as you said, perform and have the low expectations, because if you go in expecting the Norman Rockwell and you don't get it, it can be quite crushing, and add that with some alcohol and you're really sad at the end of the day.
I mean,
or you just say, you know what, it might not go great, but we're going to have a decent meal.
I think it also depends on who's hosting the Thanksgiving. There's different people in the family that can do it sometimes, and the host makes a difference.
Like, what makes a good Thanksgiving host?
Well, someone that is just open and just loving and just ready to be able to handle whatever happens. People that can just handle it and roll with it.
And that's always good advice wherever you are. David, thank you very much for the phone call, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I mean, I think that's the other thing, too, and this was something that they were talking about yesterday that Bill Leff was talking about, because I heard him yesterday afternoon, where he was saying that there... You really have to you have to be comfortable with the idea if things don't necessarily match expectations. You want something to be outstanding and awesome, and we all have standards. I mean, we want things to be great. But if there's a couple of imperfections along the way, there's nothing wrong with that, and more often than not, it's a funny story.
We're human, and then, you could call into the radio next year and tell us how it went. The caller before this one, how she said that nobody ever argues, everything is great. I think that that is wonderful, but I don't think that that is the norm for everybody. I think most people have family difficulties, and it's normal. I think people have sadness. People have stress around holidays, and I think that it's normal. And I just want to tell everybody that if you're feeling those things today, you are not alone, and there's a lot of people like it. And just try to get through the day and enjoy it the best you can, and be grateful that you have these people to have difficulties with.
Right. If it's, life throws a curveball at you, take the pitch. Speaking of things that turn into funny stories, when was the first time you tried to make a staple of the Thanksgiving meal?
Oh, gee. I guess I've had that difficulty. I've had that responsibility. I'm sorry. I will tell you.
A responsibility that can be difficult.
Right. I will tell you a couple. When I was here a couple years ago working and I wasn't enjoying my own family's meal, I tried to get, and I thought that I was being, you know, fancy, and I got one of those heritage turkeys, the ones that are raised like wild turkey, is not your butterball. And I was so excited about this because I don't want to say on air how much this cost. If you've had one of these, you know. It's the, you know, the non-genetically modified, and it's supposed to be, all the chefs say, it's the real, there's more flavor in the heritage bird than what you get at, you know, Jewel or Mariano's. And I paid a fortune for this thing, and it was the most disappointing piece of fowl I have ever had. It was so gamey and dry. And
well,
I
it's your
paid,
heritage turkey. It's supposed to be gamey.
It's a heritage turkey, and I paid a fortune for it.
Doing it pilgrim style.
I will never, I don't mean to disrespect
wild turkeys who might be listening
farmers,
right now.
But I will, give me a butterball turkey any day. Are the Jewel special, because that was just not what I'm used to. But although our forefathers, the pilgrims, that's what they were eating.
Yes, they couldn't go to Mariano's.
How about, what, do you have a mishap?
It wasn't a mishap so much. It was like the first time I had decided to cook turkey on my own was in this apartment I had in Milwaukee that I affectionately referred to as the Soviet apartment, because it really did have all the charm of a communist building in Leningrad in the height of the Cold War.
Wow.
It was just that beautiful. And I had this underpowered oven. And I was working at WTMJ in Milwaukee at the time, and I couldn't go home because I was working that morning and the next day, and I was really busy that weekend. So I decided to cook Thanksgiving for myself.
Alone?
Alone.
Oh,
well,
it's hard.
I gave myself something to do.
Okay.
I was going to cook Thanksgiving for myself. So I went and got a turkey breast from the store, put it in the tub so it thawed, like, did everything right. The problem was this bird had a defective pop-up timer.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the oven for possibly 25 hours. Maybe an exaggeration, I'm not sure. It was literally in the oven all day.
Wow.
And the timer did not pop up yet. And I thought, you know what? It's 6:30 at night, and I'm hungry, and I got to go to bed soon because I'm doing the morning show the next day. I'm going to live dangerously and pull this thing out of the oven. And it was all right, but it was missing something. Example, being with your family. I mean, having a Thanksgiving dinner by yourself off the coffee table, sitting on your bachelor couch, isn't exactly a Norman Rockwell painting by any stretch of the imagination.
But it's memorable.
It was memorable. It did become material on the radio 11 years later.
I thought that maybe you were going to say you cut into it and the whole thing just deflated.
Like the Griswold turkey,
exactly.
It was dried out.
Uh-huh.
I give you credit for trying that. Doing that on your own. You know, in growing up, I think that there's a lot of people listening who eat turkey and things like that, but there's a lot of people who add their own ethnic additions to Thanksgiving, because we are a melting pot and all the cultures that come together and we
and
all
what
celebrate.
Do the Bellissomos do on Thanksgiving?
Well, I think that there's a lot of Italian-Americans in Chicago and across this country, and Thanksgiving is the day for ravioli. And the ravioli gets made in the week before Thanksgiving, and it is a big process, an Italian dressing. And then with my Puerto Rican in-laws, that was the arroz con gandules, the pigeon peas and rice on Thanksgiving. And so I really appreciate how people can make Thanksgiving their own and respect both their characters. And so, if you know, what do you eat on Thanksgiving? If it's something different than turkey, so that's why I respected Hannah, saying I'm going to have a steak. And that was American. So I think that what's on your Thanksgiving table? Send us a text. Let us know.
I was trying to. The turkey turned out fine. The real disaster was the stuffing. I tried to make stuffing my own self. And I love stuffing. I'm firmly pro-stuffing.
Whoa. It's called dressing.
No,
it's not called dressing.
Dressing is the way you dress it up. It's stuffing. It just exists
I've
to take up space.
South of I-80. That must be south of I-80 thing.
What do you have on your plate? Stuffing. It does not sound particularly appetizing, but it's like the best part of the Thanksgiving meal as far as I'm concerned. So I get the bread. I let it stay out. It gets kind of stale. And then I get my chicken stock, I get all the butter in the world, and I put it in the oven, the same underpowered oven that failed to cook the turkey, and it just came out as bread soup.
Ugh.
And I just thought, you know what? Let us pretend this never happened. Mm-hmm. Let us never speak of the stuffing again.
Nobody would have known.
The big stuffing at the Burrow household, my wife's been making it for years, is the White Castle stuffing. We go out, we get a 10-pack of White Castle. She did it last night, and, you know, we save a few for ourselves as well. The classic Wednesday before Thanksgiving meal, and she cuts them up, and she adds the stock, and she stuffs the bird with White Castle sandwiches.
That sounds delicious.
It is. It is. Are you familiar? You've done White Castle. I know in Memphis they've got the
got crystals.
Crystal. Yeah, which when I lived in Memphis, I never went to Crystal once, but I assumed it was just like White Castle.
Same, yeah. But that, I've never heard of anybody doing that. That's really interesting.
It is. It's got the meat. It's got the
bread. It's got your onions.
She threw some celery in there as well, and
everything. White Castle. Remind me. Does that come with a pickle or no pickle?
It does come with a pickle.
Yes.
You can throw that in there. Everything goes in the stuffing, right? It's like the chili of bread.
The chili. Chili of bread products.
Exactly.
220 on 720 WGN. Ryan Burrow and Randy Belisomo were talking about stuffing, or you may call it dressing. This could be what starts your family fight. Is it stuffing? Is it dressing? Let's throw down. But as I said earlier, I did not eat anything outside of a very small breakfast. So I am extraordinarily hungry right now, and dinner is not until 4. And I looked at the traffic report, and the Kennedy is really slow. Because I have to go out by O'Hare. So I do believe it's all right, being broadcasters, Ryan, Randy, myself, if we all, can we start a motorcade? Can we pretend to be Joe Biden and close the expressway to get to our Thanksgiving dinner sooner than everyone else?
Wow. Yeah, I'm hungry too.
Is that possible?
A lot of people are probably eating right now.
After all, we are essential personnel on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. WGN, Rob Hart and Randy Belisomo here until 3 o'clock. We talked about the Thanksgiving meal failures. My underpowered Soviet oven wasn't enough to get the turkey breast done in the year 2004, and I ended up making bread soup as opposed to stuffing. But I do want to tell you about the times it did succeed. I smoked a turkey one year because I have two smokers now. I'm like Mr. Smoker. And it turned out perfectly. I mean, the patience paid off. The heat was at a proper level, and it was awesome.
Do you like that better than the deep fried turkey? The flavor?
Well, I was able to experiment because the following year I was able to do a deep fried turkey. I didn't set out to purchase a deep fryer. The radio station that I worked for had a contest that did not necessarily happen. But this was, they were going to give away electric smokers and deep fryers before Thanksgiving. And for one reason or another, the contest didn't happen. So there was just these pallets of electric smokers and turkey fryers in the back hallway. And once the promotion department figured that no one was going to pick these things up, that it was just free for the staff to take home. So I had this turkey fryer, and I was going to my brother-in-law's place in Wisconsin, and they had two turkeys. I had the turkey fryer. They said, do you want to fry the other one? And I did everything properly because I did not want to become the star of the next viral video of the fried turkey, you know, burning the house down. So I got the proper amount of oil. I made sure it was dry. I made sure it was defrosted. Goes in there for 40 minutes, and it's done. Which is just amazing. You feel like you're cheating. And it was great. It was really good. The problem with doing a deep-fried turkey, in my estimation, wasn't the preparation. It was the cleanup.
Right.
Because you then had this container full of 4 or 5 gallons of turkey oil, and you have to dispose of it in the same way you would dispose of nuclear waste. Like, I wanted to put it on a freight train and send it somewhere into Wyoming placed inside a sarcophagus forever. But so I tried to, that was where the problems began, because once the oil was suitably cooled, I took it out to the garbage can and then tripped on something and spilled it all over myself.
Oh.
Ruining an outfit and a pair of shoes.
Oh, it was cooled.
Yes, it was cool.
Like, you could be in the burn hospital.
No, I wasn't, I did not, if I had spilled hot oil on myself, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right.
It had cooled off after a couple of hours, but it ruined my shoes. And that was the end of frying turkeys for me. Let's talk to Rosemary. You are on 720 WGN. Hello, it's Turkey Disasters on GN.
Well, I think a lot of the problems start with him because he has come in and tried to clarify these rules like catch, no catch, and all he's done is made it more confusing. No one knows what a catch is anymore. So that's one of the problems. And I don't want to excuse the officials on the field, but I really feel like their jobs have been made so tough and so difficult that it doesn't surprise me when there's key moments and bad calls made. Now, Monday night was a little ridiculous with inadvertent whistles and things like that. That's just about as bad as it can get outside of maybe losing track of the down, which thankfully doesn't happen all that much, but it's an ongoing problem, and unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be fixed this year. And I don't really know if they're going to make a change up top with Dean Blandino, but they might want to.
Hey, how many Bears fans have made the trip up I-94 and I-43 to Green Bay on Thanksgiving night?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I've actually been up in the North Woods of Wisconsin with my family. That's where we do Thanksgiving, so I'm kind of making a snowy, icy trip across the northern part of the state. But I imagine there'll be some Bears fans there. Like always, they always travel. I don't think Thanksgiving will hold them back all that much. Maybe a little, but it's still Lambeau. It's still a big game against the Packers, and it's a special night. Now the only thing is, I think tickets are gonna be really hard to come by with all this Brett Favre and Bart Starr stuff. This is not that Packers tickets are ever easy to come by, but especially tonight, it's gonna be tough.
Adam Hogue, stay safe as you drive to Green Bay, and hopefully the Bears can pull out a winner up there.
All right, good talking to you guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks a lot. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. It's 2:45 on 720 WGN, and when we come back, we'll talk about what we are thankful for. 720 WGN, Rob Hart and Randy Belisomo putting a bow on this edition of what is normally the Bill and Wendy show. We're back tomorrow from 12 until 3:30. We'll take you between noon and all the way up to the Blackhawks game. Blackhawks taking on the Anaheim Ducks. And, of course, Hamp Kies and OB will have both ends of the Bears game tonight, the pregame and the postgame, as the Bears go up to Green Bay to take on the Packers and finally, hopefully, get in the win column versus Green Bay, because this has been a very one-sided rivalry over the past decade. And you always see a lot of crowing coming south from Wisconsin as the Packers beat the Bears time after time after time. So maybe they can spoil Brett Favre's retirement party. This is Thanksgiving, Randy, and this is a time in which you do give thanks. And the giving of thanks, I've noticed, you see on Facebook every now and then, they have the 30 Days of Gratitude Challenge, and it always turns into like humble bragging.
Oh yeah, it's so annoying.
I am so grateful on this day 15 of my 30 Days of Gratitude Challenge for my husband, who was able to get 2 weeks off so we can take the family to Barbados, you know, that
right.
kind of thing.
They got the $150,000 bonus this year and
right.
my amazing life.
I'm so thankful for my Maserati, for not breaking down on the expressway.
Pre-Facebook, we had Oprah, which was great because we had Oprah's gratitude journal in which you would write every day what you were thankful for, and it was an exercise between you and the journal, and it was good, which did not translate into humble brag across cyberspace. I just got back last week from the TED Med conference. It's like the TED conference, but for health. And I thought that this was an interesting point to share. Is they have this new science of gratitude. I think it's out of UC Berkeley. It might be out of Stanford. And it was the emotion that is most tied to reduced levels of stress hormones and all of these negative bad chemicals that I can't rattle off that they have proven in the past 12 months. once that gratitude is the most powerful emotion that is equated to positive health outcomes. And there is true science linking this. So whatever we can be thankful for is not only just a good practice, but also good for your health. And the second one that they talk about as having a wonderful emotional and physical impact is the emotion, which it's a hard word to say on the radio, awe, A-W-E. If we are in awe of things around us, it has incredible health impact. And that's directly related, I think, to gratitude.
And what are you thankful for on this Thanksgiving?
Speaking of that, I think that, you know, one thing that I never take for granted is my health and the health of those around that are close to me. And I think that for those of you that are watching, that are listening to this and who aren't doing so well, or it's really hard to be sick on the holidays. It's hard to be ill, chronically ill, anytime. And so you're not alone. We're thinking of you. And so that's what I'm grateful for, my health and the health of my loved ones. How about you?
Well, this has been a very interesting year, Randy. Back in April, I left my job. I'm not going to say who made the decision about me leaving my job, but since then I have been living the freelance life. And once that happens, I don't recommend it. It's not fun, but it does put a lot of things into perspective. It makes you realize the importance of the people that you do have in your life, because when something like that happens, when you do lose your job, you see signs of support and offers of support from many people who I had never really anticipated, who offered to put the good word in for me, who wanted to have a cup of coffee, who were willing to pass my name along to somebody else. And that also resulted, you know, the additional time at home gave me something that I will treasure once this whole situation is over. And that is, I got to spend a lot of time with my family. I got to spend a lot of time with Kathy. I got to spend a lot of time with Harriet. We had the time to take road trips all over the country. We went and visited the farm where my mother-in-law grew up in western Iowa. We drove to Hilton Head, South Carolina. We went to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We had these moments together as a family, and I was able to really develop a relationship with my daughter. She is now 2, and she refers to all sports as the White Sox, so I have definitely...
you did something right.
I've definitely cemented her Sox fandom. We got to go to a lot of baseball games together. And as part of this journey, I've also been able to rekindle a relationship with an entity that I said farewell to 4 years ago, and to go seek new opportunities. And in the middle of summer, I started talking to Todd Manley again, the program director of WGN, and he and Stephanie Menendez, the assistant program director, were kind enough to invite me back. And I have enjoyed being back at WGN and on a fill-in basis, either doing news or talk shows. This is truly one of the most amazing places, not only on the radio dial in Chicago, but just in broadcasting in America. And to be invited back into this fraternity and into this sorority of extraordinarily talented broadcasters, even in a limited capacity, that has been a truly wonderful thing to happen this year. So to
we
get
can both be grateful for
the
chance to...
And the fact that they thought that the pairing of the two of us would actually work, and it has worked.
We'll see.
So this radio thing that we've got going, Randy, you and I, this has been a fun little surprise to take place in 2015. And it's also great to see everyone in the newsroom again, Andrea and Steve Bertrand and Judy Pilak, who was nice enough to invite me back to do news on a limited basis, to see Ryan Burrow again, because Ryan and I have worked in a million places in Chicago, and also to finally meet Jim DeCastro. I have heard so much about him over the years, because if you're a Chicago radio geek, you know what Jim DeCastro built, especially at the Loop back in the 80s, and to actually like talk to him and work with him. And he is every much the character and every much the cool guy that I've read about. So
I haven't had the opportunity.
Yes, he's an absolute treat. So just to be a part of this again and to come back, and not only that, to talk to you, because I've heard some very nice things from people who listen to the station about the work that I do here. And it's really weird, because I don't think anything that I say has any value to anyone anywhere, and you find it entertaining. And that is touching in ways that I cannot possibly express. And I swear to God, I'm not humble bragging. But thank you very much for liking this.